When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
Coming to you alive through the power of the interwebs. Inside the Green Room Studio from the flagship source of the EarthMix Garden Products Network, it's the At-Home Show with Josh Carey and David Bates, bringing you all the wisdom
and wit
you'll ever need to tackle your garden and your projects. Now broadcasting live from Bates Nursery and Garden Center at 3810 Whites Creek Pike, just 1 mile north of exit 19 off Briley Parkway.
Or 0.9 miles as the Josh drives.
Here's Josh Carey and David Bates.
Well, it's not Josh Carey and David Bates. It's Adam and Austin from Bates Nursery. David Bates and Josh Carey on assignment at a remote location. You never know when one of them might pop in, but... A little bit different show today, and we're going to go ahead and get it rolling. Adam, Austin, say hi to everybody.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, everybody.
And I've done my job. It's all you guys now.
Thank you, sir. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Just wanted to go over the weather with you today. Most of you probably heard it is pretty good chance of rain today. We're going to go down through here, the Bates Nursery Station. We have some... showers to the southwest of us, just entering the Tennessee area. So we have 90% chance today, scattered thunderstorms during the morning, becoming more widespread this afternoon. Heavy downpours are possible, so be on the lookout for that.
Boy, it would happen on a day. I'm supposed to have my birthday cookout at my mom's house.
Well, I mean, you had to have done something wrong this week.
Most likely. I live right, man. I live clean.
This is judgment. Tonight, 80% chance. Also heavy downpours likely. Tomorrow, 90% chance, mostly in the morning and then scattered in the afternoon. So, I don't think I have the rest of the week pulled up here.
Go down there to 10-day forecast at the bottom.
Yeah. I believe the rest of the week is supposed to be cooler.
I sure hope so. It's supposed to be 69 yesterday.
Well, you know, they've been teasing us with these 70-degree temperatures for 2 weeks now. Sunday. So tomorrow, the high is 79. Of course, it's going to be a sticky 79. And looks like Wednesday's a great-looking day. That's my wife's birthday. That'll be great for her. Good weather Monday. That'll be good. We got some nice big trucks coming in Monday that Austin will happily miss having to unload.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be his day off. And then Thursday, Friday, looks like that'll be coming in afternoon on Thursday and likely hang around into Friday. But if you look ahead, next weekend looks amazing.
It's all lies, dude. It was supposed to be like this this weekend. Like that this weekend, and it warmed up. So, will you do me a favor? Will you throw it over on HDMI 3?
I sure will, sir. Do we have a special guest?
We do have a special guest. It'll pop up. Oh, that's HDMI 2.
There we go.
And
let's see, who do we have here?
Oh, whoa, it's David Bates.
And a gracious good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, sir.
And good morning to you also, Honora. Off camera, but I know you're there. Great to see everyone today, and I'm also glad to be my own first guest.
Yes, sir.
Over our Zoom connection here.
Yes, sir.
And hopefully in the coming weeks we'll be having other guests from around the country coming on. So it gives us an opportunity to be able to check out this little connection. And just to say, welcome everybody. And a couple of things you want to remember. Number one, if watching us on Facebook, please share it. Go out there and share it out to your page, and you know, let's get the word out for this thing. You know, we're going to be talking today, unlike most days where you have the constant needling of Josh Carey interrupting my train of thought. You've got two horticultural professionals on board this morning who are more than capable of talking about
apparently, you're not capable.
Middle Tennessee area. And Michael will be there to kind of help.
To needle them.
Fill in where necessary.
I'll fill the role of Josh today.
Well, and I know already that you're very capable of that. You can the disruptive voice in the room. So, what you guys got planned for today?
Well, I was going to add things. I've got some pictures from my house that I don't know what these plants are, so hopefully he can help me out with that.
Yeah, Austin's a pretty sharp guy, so I've got every confidence in him.
Indeed he is.
Yeah, we'll see. David, where are you? You're in the woods, buddy.
Well, if you look down there, it says Mont Eagle, Tennessee. If I don't know if that shows up on the screen or not.
It does.
I
can't tell for lower certain. Left hand.
There it is, yeah.
But I am in Mont Eagle with my family, taking a few days off. A little cooler up here where we are, and as Adam mentioned in the forecast, there was a pretty significant chance of rain today. However, you know, looking at the radar, it's really south and west of us at this point. But the nature of the way these storms are, they seem to appear out of nowhere. So today is the likely scenario for those kinds of activities. However, it does not appear that it's going to be a washout day, so I'll encourage everybody to get out and get on with your projects you've got going on around the house. The significant chance of rain is not until mid-afternoon. So hopefully you've got a chance to get out, get your things together that you're going to be wanting to work on, digging in the dirt, and get everything ready around your landscape.
Yes, indeed.
Cool.
We'll be here till 4 o'clock, and tomorrow we'll be here 12 to 4 for the first time.
Yeah, first Sunday of fall. It's
the first Sunday of fall, and it's coming a little earlier than normal this year. Fall in general, I think the everyone has decided that it is time for fall to be here, and the weather has been somewhat cooperative, although it's still been hot for the last couple of weeks, as you mentioned, Adam.
Yes, particularly soupy.
It has not been oppressively hot. It's just been like, okay, we're ready for fall to start, kind of hot now, and it's still in the 90s. So hopefully the teas will be over for the next. It's been going on for the last couple of weeks. We'll actually have significantly cooler weather. It looks like there's a really good chance with the rain that's moving in for the next couple of days.
Yes. The only thing that I see that could disrupt that are the several low-pressure areas out in the Gulf and the Atlantic that we don't know what they're going to do yet. So we'll see.
The one thing we get to minor in as horticulturalists is weather.
Yes.
It kind of dictates everything we do, and certainly we have no more control over it than anybody else, but we do try to stay weather aware, and that's what we try to encourage everyone else to do, and plan accordingly.
Yes. That's why we have rain gear and umbrellas and
that's
those
true.
Kinds of things. So the water, last I checked, I don't melt in water. No, Austin might.
Yeah, a little. Just
So even if it is raining, get your rain gear on. Come on out. We'll be happy to help you.
Hey, I want to ask a question of both of you guys. And I haven't talked with Honora about this. Honora, have I apparently looked at the schedule? Are either of you guys coming up on the Bates Nursery Botanical Boot Camp this week?
I did one this week, actually. I did one on screening plants. So plants for screens to hide stuff. I did a lot of different options, small, fat, skinny. Tall, all that. We went over it. I don't know what we got next week. Honora, who's next week? Yeah.
Is Adam doing edible plants?
Adam
with
the
22nd? So that's the 22nd? I think that's the 22nd.
Yeah,
pretty sure.
So the 16th is fall perennials, dividing and care with Joy. And then edible landscapes, the 22nd. Trees with Ben. What tree works for your space, the 24th. then the 30th is how to overwinter tropical house, tropical plants and house plants.
Nice.
So this
I could have given Honora a chance to get to the hot seat where she could actually be speaking directly into a mic, but I could still hear her. So thank you, Honora, as always. She's the coordinator and the developer of the Bates Nursery Botanical Boot Camp, and she's the one who corrals all the talent we have around Bates Nursery and puts the itinerary together. Well, and
really, she squeezes the amount of talent that she gets out of us. It's amazing.
Well, she's a persuasive sort, you know. That's why she's in marketing. She knows what she's doing, and fortunately, if you're interested what Austin talked about or any of the past episodes, you can simply go to BatesNursery.com, scroll down to the bottom of the page, and there's other links, and you'll see Bates Nursery Botanical Boot Camp on there, and you can click on that link, and it'll give you a list of all the upcoming talks that we're going to be having, as well as archives of what we've done in the past. So you can click on Austin's most recent thing if you have questions about screening, and he'll give you a complete rundown. There are a lot of choices. You know, back in the day, screening consisted of one plant, privet hedge. And
yes.
And now, fortunately, we've moved on to a time where that not only is privet hedge not the only option, it is a highly illegal. Discouraged, is considered an invasive now.
Yes, it's illegal.
And so we don't sell privet hedge, nor does anyone else. But no. There are a great many things that do a great job. I know Adam at his house has got green giant arborvitas.
Yes.
Growing yes. up, and you've had those in the ground how many years now, Adam?
12 years now, and they're over 20 foot tall. They're probably almost 30 foot tall now, so...
And I take it they're doing an effective job at what you want them to do.
Yes, they are screening the woods next to my house, which are about to be somebody's house here pretty soon. So I knew that was going to be the case. So,
well, you know, it's like the old saying about planting a shade tree. You know, the best time to have planted a shade tree or a screen is 10 or 20 years ago. The second best time is right now. So won't have it if you don't get it in the ground right now. You don't really plant a screen so much as you grow it. You put the opportunity out there and allow enough time to pass to allow it to happen. We have a little property line between the nursery and a neighbor that we're planted some 7-gallon green giants that were, what were they, maybe 3 feet tall when we planted them?
Maybe 4 foot at the most. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there are many of them that are approaching 7 feet already. So so within 2 or 3 more years, they will have grown together and make a complete screen. So if you've got screening issues or whatever that you've got going on, don't hesitate to pick up the phone and call 615-499-6690. You can either call in Michael and leave a message. Michael will take your information, or you can just text that in and they'll read your text on the air and discuss whatever issue you've got going on. So
we can call you back too.
We can call you back also. So with that, I'll get out of the way and let you guys get on with it. Thanks for taking care of things today. And gosh, I'm really sorry Josh couldn't be here.
Yeah, so are we.
Yeah.
All right. Take care, thank guys.
You, see you, David. Enjoy yourself.
All right. That was...
That's my name, by the way, up on the screen. Yeah. I can go back to the HDMI, too.
Gotcha. Yeah, so we can see the... All right, Austin, I got a couple things here for you while we're waiting for some folks to... There we go. All right, so... Walking around my house last night, trying to think about some things to there's a couple things I just want to show you that's kind of cool.
It looks like quick fire, huh?
It is, yes. I've got a quick fire. It's spaced for a second on my knee. So they're blast blooming. That's what this is called, right? Blast blooming, where they're done blooming, and then for whatever reason, one or two branches just, you know, bloom. And so there's a couple on it. And this thing, I've had this thing for 14, 15 years since we've been in the house. And you can see behind that's the old bloom. That's the actual first flesh are really the only bloom you usually get unless you prune them back hard. Mm-hmm. And then for whatever reason, this thing has got two new blooms on it. So it's kind of cool.
That's pretty cool. And you told me you've never cut that plant, right?
No. Never. The only thing I've done is limbed it up a little bit so it looks a little more tree form. Uh-huh. So,
and that's a good one, too. I mean, that hydrangea, the good thing about it is you can cut it way back if you need to. It doesn't matter. No. It's going to, you know, reshoot and rebloom off that new wood. So it's a consistent bloomer. I've got a tree form one at my house I just planted this spring, so I'm hoping it gets as big as yours. I'm going to have to keep it cut, though. Mine, I don't have the room to keep it that big. But what you said what, 8x8, 10x10 now?
It's 8x8, I would say, easily. And actually, Rachel, my lovely wife who works in the office, she has to pull in right next to it, and it kind of...
He grabs her.
Yeah. I probably do need to prune a little bit off of it for her to get into her parking spot better. But, I just can't find the time. Okay, so this was another, this is a weed growing beside my shed. And is this some kind of aster? What is this? Do you know?
It's an ageratum, actually. It's our wild ageratum.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah, common name, blue mist flower. People call it that. Yeah,
I knew it was... it's awesome. I don't think I've ever seen it there before. I'm assuming that a critter, a bird, presumably, dropped it in there.
Yeah, they're all over the place. I mean, down the interstates you see them, out in fields, pastures, they pop up. I got them on my property line, too. They bloom a long time. We sell, what's funny is we sell ageratum
as an annual.
In four packs or, in singles.
No, that's not the same plant, though, is it exactly?
Probably a different species. This is the original, just the species.
Okay.
They've hybridized the plant to stay smaller and tighter. This one still gets fairly big.
Well, you can see these are... These are probably 18 inches tall, maybe even a little taller.
Yeah, they grow them to keep them a lot tighter. In the spring, we sell them.
Okay, so I'm trying to think. All right. Mm. Now, what do you think? Now, let me give a little backstory here. Okay. So I learned this plant in college in my weeds class. Okay?
Yep.
And when I came to work here 20 years ago, we were selling it. So now, granted, I did go to a school that was primarily agriculture, based. We had a horticulture program, but it was fairly small compared to the field growing and crops and all that kind of stuff. So my weeds class primarily focused on what you don't want in the field. And so, but a reason why I bring it up is a lot of people think that right now the reason why you're sneezing your head off is because of this plant. But that's actually not true.
It's not.
It just happens to bloom at the same time as ragweed. And ragweed, you really can't see the bloom on it. One of the reasons why you don't really, so this Solidago or goldenrod is the harbinger of hay fever or, ragweed time. So don't blame the Solidago.
No, don't.
Its pollen is way too big to affect your allergies. So
And the foliage of the plant is so totally different than ragweed. Ragweed has a lot much broader leaf.
Ragweed almost looks like a small tree.
It does,
if you let it go. Yeah.
But, yeah, you can plant this in old goldenrod. It's a good plant. I tell you, the yellow, though, this time of year, I mean, it sticks out.
Yeah. I mean, I think that for me, I've been, because I had it in my weeds class, it just kind of stuck out to me that we were selling something that I learned as a weed. So, but I also did learn the best thing I learned in my weeds class is this is.
To get rid of the Tennessee pot?
Oh, yeah,
No. But by the way, this is the, in my humble opinion, the best pots that we have here.
Oh, yeah.
I think it needs a large U and a K.
I don't think so. No, that would make it much worse. now, the plant that's in it, Chrysanthemum is...
That's a great Everclear song, by the way.
Chrysanthemum?
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
It's on, like, their fourth album.
Really?
Is it called Slow Motion Daydream?
Maybe I have heard that. Maybe I have heard that. If I heard it again, I would probably, I'd probably tell you if I had. What I'm going to do here, this is the toughest plant that we have here, in my opinion.
Let's see. I'm eager. Oh.
This is the toughest plant that we sell, in my opinion.
No, you're right. I mean, they call it stone crop for a reason. It'll live on top of rocks. Hardly any water. It's more or less a succulent.
So, anyone out there that, and I never believe that people have a brown thumb or a black thumb. I think that's completely, it's all a matter of just mentality and knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So, but if you believe that you do, and we can't convince you otherwise, this is the plant that you need. It's going to grow anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as long as it's in the sun.
Yeah. Plenty of sunshine, not a wet spot. Try to avoid that. But yeah, they're blooming around town right now. It makes a good border too. I passed a house going home, and they've got this plant as a border in their front sidewalk. It really tight and full. Mm-hmm. It's perfect for that.
Mm-hmm. We've got a voicemail if you'd like to hear it.
Sure.
It's from David, and I'm not going to lie, it's really self-serving.
What, so, David?
No, for me, it's self-serving for me.
Oh. Well.
It's not playing. Hold on. Technical error on my end because I have to switch it to. Oh my goodness! I got to switch it to talk amongst yourselves.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna.
It did not connect
out there.
To the. We do have a question on our Facebook feed too.
Sure.
It's from Terry Kevlin. He says, please discuss the best root trees for the Middle Tennessee area and why they are the best. My cherries are completely defoliated at this point, and I'm not sure if that is normal.
Unfortunately, that is normal.
Totally normal.
For cherries.
Yes.
Cherries are the hardest fruit tree or blooming tree, really, to grow here successfully. So I have my opinion on what's the easiest fruit tree to grow here, but what do you think?
Well, easiest pears to me seem to be good.
That's mine too,
but not the Bradford variety.
No,
fruiting pears.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, Bradford pears are the devil. Mm-hmm. But and I'm not saying that fruiting pears aren't the devil because a lot of people don't eat them. But they just happen to be the easiest one to grow here.
They do.
Now you can successfully grow apples. You're going to get cedar apple rust.
Mm-hmm.
So just get used to that.
Yeah, that's a disease we get. It doesn't kill the plant, people. Yeah, it's not something that's going to kill your plant, but it's going to make it look unsightly. And that's one thing you've got to remember with any of the fruit trees is that you're going to see some issues. That doesn't mean that you're not going to get fruit production or your fruit's bad. It just means you have to live with a little bit of, spotting on the leaves or,
correct.
It's just something we deal with here. We're not the greatest fruit growing state there is.
No, well, and it's all about climate and because it's very humid here.
Mm-hmm.
And humid conditions are very conducive to diseases specifically, so
yeah,
you have to deal with the rust, which actually the rust is because of the amount of cedar trees that we have here, and they overwinter and have part of their reproductive cycle is on the cedar tree. So unless we can eradicate Juniperus virginiana, you're going to have cedar apple rust.
Mm-hmm.
But like Austin was saying, you can still grow them. You're going to have to have, if you want to have pristine, just great looking fruit, go to Oregon or go to somewhere. It's not going to happen here.
No.
Even if you go on a spraying regimen, you're still going to have some, you can keep it off pretty good if you go with copper fungicide or some kind of orchard spray, which is usually a combination of a fungicide and an insecticide. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You guys ready for some voicemails?
Sure.
All right. The first one was the one I said was self-serving for me.
Okay.
One thing I completely forgot. I spaced on it totally. Michael, happy birthday yesterday. Yes. I think this is number 36 for you. So Hope it's a good day for you. That's it.
It is 36. 36 right. years young.
Yeah.
Though I feel like a lot older.
Just wait till you get to almost 42, buddy. That's when you get to 40, I'm telling you, it hits you like a hammer that you're, yeah, I could do this, but no.
The thing I remember the most is I was okay with 30. I was okay with 31. When I turned 33 is when I started waking up with like really weird aches and pains.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I felt like I was falling apart.
Yeah. Well, what happens is you go to sleep and you wake up and you go, did I sleep?
Yeah. No, exactly.
I feel exactly the same that I did when I went to sleep.
I've got a 2-year-old at home, too, so that doesn't help.
Well, that doesn't, yeah. No, I understand that.
We have a text message as well.
Okay.
Doesn't say who it's from.
Mystery. Mm.
But I really want to build a privacy screen of some sort between my neighbor's yard and mine. They always have 4 or 5 cars parked in their driveway. My property line ends where her husband, she sent a picture, her husband is standing. Looks like something like 30 feet, maybe.
Okay.
And they have an arborvitae in the back, so she kind of wants something different.
Hmm. Well, you go ahead, Austin, if you want. Right, can you see the picture? I can't see it. You're beside Michael. Here.
Oh, yeah, plenty of room, plenty of space, plenty
What do you think, magnolia or?
Oh, magnolias be good. I didn't even talk about that the other day. I forgot about that. Magnolias are nice. They're a little slow growing, but other than that, it's pretty, you know, evergreen flowering tree.
Mm-hmm.
You got all the space in the world to go up. We've got Arizona cypress, which is unused. You know, it's not used enough.
Yep.
I talked about that in my talk. It's got this bluish kind of silvery hue to it.
Joy Lewis is her name, by the way.
Joy Lewis.
Well, thank you for the text.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully we can give you some ideas here. Yeah, I love Arizona cypress.
Yeah.
And I think it is underused for sure because it does well here.
It does. It does great. And it's fast.
Yes,
it's fast to move.
I would say a juniper like either Spartan or Green Columnar.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe might not get big. I mean, they don't get too big. They get big enough.
Yeah, they get big enough. Yeah, they're 20 foot.
Yeah.
We brought Hollywood in behind you, but with
you
is a Hollywood juniper. It's got a kind of twisted, gnarly kind of habit.
Yeah.
It's a cool
you don't
plant.
Typically think of those as a screening plant because they have that unusual shape to them.
Yeah, that's the thing. It can be a screen or it can be a specimen, just a something you build around in the bed.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Now, I would say another option would be a holly, like Liberty Holly, or, mm-hmm. I mean, it's not going to grow very fast, but just a beautiful plant. That's my favorite. Red holly.
I love hollies. I really do. I mean, people give them a bad rap because they're a little bit pokey.
Right.
But, I mean, if you get them out in the screen and you're just looking at them and not having to deal with, you know, get around them and prune them, that they're best if they're left unpruned.
Yeah.
Just let them be a tree.
Yes. If you got the room.
If you got the room,
and
yeah.
It looks like that you guys do. So,
mm-hmm.
And also, they probably do the best job of disincentivizing people from walking through said screen.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and the berry production. I mean, Christmas time when the red berries are on the green foliage, it's a pretty.
Yes,
plant.
Indeed.
Did you guys see the fence David put up at his house?
I haven't been there in a couple of years. So when did he put it up?
Last few weeks. It looks like a hurricane fence. I think is what they called it. It looked like. Now, him and Josh took offense to it because I think Josh helped him. It looked like someone stacked a bunch of pallets to me, like sideways.
Oh, is it the same kind of one that's – you mean the one over here that's along
– maybe
that's kind of one
that's
along the – yeah, yeah, that is awesome because it's got the slats on both sides and they're
– offset.
Offset. Uh-huh. Yeah, I do like the way that looks.
I did, too.
A lot.
I think it looked good.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I'm a little jealous because my fence is not that good looking. But
I have the literal stereotypical white picket fence, and I got to repaint it.
You would.
I know. It's just came with the house that I bought.
Well, you know.
The bottoms are rotten off.
Yes.
Oh, so. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what's happening to mine. Mine's just the 6-foot, wooden, slat fence and starting to get some warp boards and stuff that's, they're just, it's 7 years, 8 years old now. So
for my birthday, I got a bunch of woodworking stuff, so I assume that's part of my project.
Is that a hint, you think?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, they're like, "Hey, we got you a benchtop planer. Have fun with those warp boards." I was like, "Okay, cool. I'll flatten them out for you."
Well, I'm going to take a second here to encourage everybody to go to baitsnursery.com. Just See if I can pull it up here.
At 3810 Whites Creek Pike.
3810 Whites Creek Pike. We are open 9 to 4 Monday through Saturday, and now we are open 12 to 4 on Sundays. We have a, in my humble opinion, the best selection of plants in the Nashville area.
I agree.
I might be a little biased. And we have the greatest selection of individuals that happen to work here. Awesome folks here. Everybody here can help you in some fashion. You know, if you are wanting to improve your landscape, but you don't really know, kind of iffy on what you want to do, you don't think you have the knowledge, just come out here, bring pictures. We'll be happy to help you get your landscape squared away. And right now we have just starting to get our really good selection of cool season veggies and color, as you saw in the beautiful Tennessee pots with the chrysanthemum. Now, you know, that mum is going to bloom. It's not going to bloom for very long, but you will have that pot forever.
You will.
And you can put whatever you want to in that pot as long as it will fit in there.
So it's not environmentally friendly. I'm saying it won't, you know, it's harmful environment.
The pot is not harmful. with that, the orange tea on there, that only makes your life better.
Is it a football pot or a basketball pot? That's really going to decide whether or not UK needs to be
actually,
on the front.
You know what? Right now it doesn't matter because I think both areas is great. I think you could go either way.
Yeah.
We also have a great selection of perennials.
Trees now, good
trees.
Lord,
yeah, trees, we've got one more truck of trees coming in. So we did happen to get some fruit trees yesterday. So we got in a selection of plums,
peaches, apples.
Yep.
A little bit of pear, got some persimmon.
Yep, got those Asian persimmons.
That's for you. Yeah, that's a good plant.
And what's the other one? Hayachi?
Yeah.
I know I'm butchering the name. but are those, do you have to have two?
It helps, yeah, for sure.
That's
but
what I thought.
Fuyu supposedly has self-fruiting qualities. But with most all fruit trees, we need to have a couple different varieties out there to really help you get fruit production, minus peaches. Peaches, you can just throw one in the yard and you can get a lot of peaches. But for the most part, you need to get a couple different varieties of fruit out there.
Now, I did see the two of the apples I'd never seen before. One of them was Anna.
Yeah.
And the other one was two words, and it was a... It was a yellow, similar to Yellow Delicious. And they both, well, that one, the one that was yellow, said it was partially self-fruiting.
Yeah.
Which I think, is that the case for Yellow Delicious as well?
It is. Yeah, Granny Smith is similar, too. It can fruit by itself. But you get more, and you get a lot better if you get more pollen.
If you have more pollen,
there.
Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yes. And, you know, the thing with that is you don't have to have them really close together.
No.
You know, if you only have room for a tree here or a tree there, if you don't have room to have a, you know, traditional orchard, you know, the insects are going to do the work for you.
Exactly, bees.
So, and that's also the case with, you know, we were talking about hollies earlier. Most of your bigger hollies are female, male. So you'll need to have at least one male somewhere, and a lot of times there's probably something in your neighborhood that's male.
Exactly.
You know, but it's hard to know for sure. So if you get something like a blue princess or blue girl or something like that, you'll need a blue prince or a blue boy or something like that.
Need a male with it.
And
it doesn't take much, like you were saying.
Well, if you notice, you know, if you look at the male hollies, you can see that they produce way more pollen than the female.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and bees are drunk over holly.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they just love them. So, yeah, the bees are going to do the work for you, especially on the larger hollies. You're going to get good berry production more or less by not doing anything. But if you're way out in the country or out, you know, in the woods, you need to get a male. to help out.
Now, what, you know, going back to that question we had earlier about the screening, you know, if you didn't want to do evergreens, you could do something like a slender silhouette sweet gum, which is essentially branched to the ground.
Mm-hmm. Now, really popular.
Yeah. And now it's not going to be, it's not going to have foliage there in the winter, but, you know, the rest of the year, it's going to be full.
It's cool. It's a cool plant. Really shiny leaf. Kind of looks like a maple leaf. It's a sweet gum leaf, so it's kind of got that star shape.
Mm-hmm.
They get tall, too. Gosh, they get 30, 40 foot tall if you let them, but they stay thin. They're only, you know, at max, yeah, maybe 4 or 5 feet wide.
Right, with very minimal pruning, you know, if any.
Mm-hmm. Those sweet gum trees are the ones with those spiky seed balls,
that's
right?
Correct. Normally, yes. Yeah, the species is that way, and there's other other varieties that have it, but most of your newer varieties are fruitless, so including Cinder Silhouette.
Yeah, and you can still see some fruit on them, but it's usually minimal to where it's not gonna, you know, affect you too much.
Yeah. Also, another good one would be, and of course, the fall color on the sweet gum is amazing. So don't forget that.
Mm-hmm.
What is that one? The Carpinus. Mm-hmm. What do we have? Pyramidalis, is that the one we usually carry?
Yeah, it is.
The upright hornbeam.
The hornbeam, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's another good one.
Franz Fontaine is another variety of that plant.
Yeah, we've had that one.
Yeah, that's another deciduous kind of columnar plant. Mm-hmm. They get big, and they live well, too. They have minimal pest issues. Yeah, yeah, I mean, they're pretty clean plant from the ground up.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking about fruit. I was going to ask you, actually. I had a topic you... I know Adam brings in these awesome serviceberry muffins every year. He's got a serviceberry. That's a fruit tree that you don't think about all that much. But why don't you tell us about that? Okay. How long have you had it?
Well, I've been fascinated with them since I started working here. And it was the first time I'd ever really seen them. Technically, I saw them when I was much younger just driving up to Knoxville. Because you see them, if you drive to Knoxville in late March, early April, or you'll see them blooming. They're just the native, just growing out there in groves.
Yeah, kind of up a on the shrubby tree.
Yeah, up on the plateau.
Yeah.
But when I first started working here, we had them, and they have this berry that is, you know, similar in size to blueberry, you know, maybe a little smaller than a blueberry.
Mm-hmm.
And I started eating them, or I found out that you could eat them, and I was like, oh, this is really awesome. Mm-hmm. You know, something I'd never seen before. And they're native. So now the variety that we carry most commonly is Autumn Brilliance, mm-hmm. which is, I believe it's a hybrid between Canadensis and one other one. I don't remember which one. But so I had five, and then my dog ate one to the ground. It was very nice of her.
Uh-huh.
Now, what did happen, what's awesome, is it came back from the rootstock.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's huge. It's massive. I think it's, I guess it's just a straight Canadensis, whatever it is. But the biggest issue with them is they are in the same family as apples.
Mm-hmm.
So they will get cedar apple rust.
Yeah.
It's no question. Mine get it. And once, you know, I don't ever even spray them. I mean, that mine are so big now, it'd be tough for me to spray them.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, depending on the year, because this year I didn't get as much rust on them for whatever reason. I don't know if it was a weather thing.
Mm-hmm.
But some years the fruit gets just completely, because the fruit's so small, you know, with an apple, you can get some spots of rust on it, still eat it. It's
exactly.
fine. Uh-huh. But with the serviceberry, when you get the rust on there, it completely, because the fruit's so small, it will actually just destroy the fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, but as soon as they have a hint of red to them, the birds.
Oh, yeah. You got to pick them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, particularly mockingbirds, at least in my case.
Yeah.
I have a love-hate relationship with mockingbirds, by the way. But, you know, with all things, what I've done is just planted more of them. That way, and I find that in this people that actually have the room to do this. Yeah, I also have blueberries at my house. I use as they're a foundation planting at my house.
As they should be. It's an ornamental edible. Mm-hmm. It's something that we don't use in a landscape all that much, but it should be. It's got great fall color. It gives fruit, and it gets fairly large, you know, anywhere from that 6 to 10-foot range on some bigger ones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, blueberries are underused in the landscape.
And they're easy to grow.
Yeah,
I mean, as long as you keep the pH down,
mm-hmm.
grow enough that nature can get what she wants,
yeah.
and then I can get what I want, yeah, as long as I'm, you know,
vigilant,
constant, vigilant, mm-hmm. and picking what I need to. So,
mm-hmm.
And speaking of blueberries, one tip that a lot of people don't know about blueberries is they have to ripen on the plant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of times, like with tomatoes and stuff, you can pick them.
They'll still ripen.
They'll still ripen. Yeah. Even if they just have a hint of red to them when you pick them, they're going to ripen. Well, mm-hmm. if you pick a blueberry too early, it could be blue, but it's going to be extremely tart.
Yeah, sour. And that's an issue, like we talked to earlier, you had mentioned mockingbirds earlier. They're the world's worst with blueberries. They'll wait till they get perfect, and then they'll pluck them all.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. So, yeah, service berries are great. They're an awesome ornamental. You could even, you know, use them as a focal point in a garden if you wanted to.
Hence the name Autumn Brilliance. You know, that's the fall color is
awesome.
Money.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure I've got a picture of one somewhere, but I'd have to search for my phone. But and blueberries too. Fall color is awesome.
Yeah, they're fantastic.
They look like they're on fire. Around.
They do, yeah. And the first frost doesn't take the leaves either. They go mm-hmm. well past the first frost.
Oh, I've had leaves on mine Christmas.
Yeah. No, that's real. They stick around.
So,
blueberries have been, gosh, the rage this year. This spring, I don't know how many blueberries that we sell.
As they should. I mean, like you were saying, they're so easy to grow. I mean, as long as you have just a half a day of sun. They mm-hmm. don't even have to have full sun.
No, they don't. Yeah, four hours is plenty. 4 to 6 hours is fine for them.
Yeah.
I'm going to remind people real quick. You can call in 615-499-6690. Any kind of questions, text messages, you just want to yell at us.
Yeah, words of encouragement.
Uh-huh. Words of discouragement. You know, it's all good.
Yeah.
Any words. Well, no, not any words. I'm sure there's a few.
There's no FCC regulations, but we still keep it family friendly.
I got you. Okay.
Yeah. We used to play a game called, like, whoever we were talking to versus the FCC. And we'd give them, like, some kind of weird limerick that they'd have to say five times fast, and you had to be careful because it might come out a little
right.
wrong.
Where you get a fine.
Yes.
Yeah. You know. I'm trying to think. There was one other think about growing as a just in the landscape. You know, there's some new what's great about some of the new raspberries and blackberries is they're dwarf versions.
You can grow them in a pot. A lot of people have to do that. They're, you know, in a real tight spot in a condo or something, and they need to grow something in a pot. Raspberries and blueberries and blackberries have
you
become
can
more
in
dwarf.
Containers. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
So I have, I think it's, is that what it's called? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, so I have one of those. I barely have one of those now. The problem is I planted it too close to the house, and then the blueberries kind of got big and just shaded it out.
Yeah.
So I've got like one little stem left on it. It's just kind of hanging on.
Yeah, it's all right.
But
I love raspberries. Gosh, out of all the fruit, I think raspberry is my favorite to grow.
Do they do as well in Tennessee, raspberries?
Yeah. I mean, I get two crops. We have a variety called Heritage.
Mm-hmm.
Bears two heavy crops every year without any problem. I mean, it helps to get them up off the ground a little bit because they'll flop on you once the fruit weighs them down. But, no, I've got two daughters, and I can't even eat a raspberry whenever they're coming on because they just take them. I mean, their faces are covered in red.
That was what happened with my youngest, Barrett. He would help me pick blueberries. Well, I say pick. He would just eat them.
Yeah, just straight up eat them.
I would just know that, okay, here, just get what you want.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So, question for you. My mom has a lemon tree.
Mm-hmm.
Has one lemon on it. Just mm-hmm. one, but it's mm-hmm. enormous. How long does it take for that to ripen up?
You typically tell by the smell. So is the lemon actually big or the lemon tree?
The lemon, well, they're both big. The lemon itself is huge, but it's very green. Okay. It's not turning yellow at all. I don't know if it's supposed to turn yellow. I have no clue.
Are you sure?
She might have accidentally bought a lime tree.
That's what I was about to say. You sure it's not a lime?
It's possible that it's actually a lime.
Yeah, because genetically they're almost identical plants.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, if it is a lemon, it will ripen, but you just got to wait.
It's been on there for weeks.
Uh-huh. Oh, weeks is not that bad. No. Yeah, you should keep waiting. Oh,
okay.
Yeah, it could take a month and a half.
Yeah, it could take
2 months.
And like I said, I typically, Mama's got one too, and I typically just harvest it when you can smell it, kind of like a cantaloupe or something.
Okay.
You know, pick it whenever you can smell that it's ready, it's ready.
Now, and the other question is, my favorite fruit is oranges. Now, orange trees don't naturally do good here, but is there a way to make a small orange tree do good?
Treat them the same way as a lemon, keeping them in a pot, bringing them in over the wintertime. Yeah, it can be done.
There is one hardy citrus.
Mm, I know.
The flying dragon.
Yes. Ponsiris trifoliata.
Yeah.
Love that plant.
And it's really cool. Now, you don't want to get in the middle of it.
No.
Because it will eat you up.
Yeah. It's
the thorns are
huge.
Huge.
Yeah, we'll just skip that one.
And the fruit is like
this. It's little. It's
it doesn't taste
doesn't
good.
Taste good. It's kind of tart. I mean, you can eat it, but it's kind of sour.
So it's a waste.
It's kind of.
I mean, it's it's
ornamental. They used to use it. I've read they used to use it as natural fences. Okay, it keeps things out.
Oh.
I mean, it ain't no joke. It is a gnarly kind of shrubby tree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
I saw one at the Memphis Zoo. I'll never forget it. It was probably 20 foot tall and equally as wide. Just this bundle of thorns. It was cool looking.
Now, as an aside to the citrus, Austin,
mm-hmm.
What of the earth mix garden products would you use to plant a citrus plant in?
Probably Proganix I. That's our indoor potting mix that we sell. It's got really good drainage to it. It's actually one of my favorite products we sell in general, really, for anything.
Yep.
Look at all that stuff it's got in
mm-hmm.
it. I mean, we mix all this stuff. Adam mainly mixes all this stuff for us. And look, we got the earthworm castings, the fiber.
Yep.
It's just got good drainage, and there's not any topsoil in it, so it stays light.
So that's what we recommend for indoor plants and tropicals and things. Well, for me, I would say even if you're planting something outdoor in a container, I would use I in cases where something might be super sensitive to moisture.
Yeah. Well, that's everyone's biggest problem with their indoor tropicals and plants in general is that they keep them too wet. So we help out with that by making this thing, drain well first off, which is crucial.
Well, what's great about it, too, is when it does get dry, it doesn't get super hard like it can happen with if you use peat-based soils. So now just go down through here. My favorite product... mainly because I do most of my planting outdoors in the ground, is landscape.
By far. That's my favorite product in general.
Because any planting you're doing in the ground, anything, I can't think of any exception, annuals, vegetables, perennials, if you just want to make your soil better, landscape is the way to go.
It is.
So... Now, if you're doing, say, a raised bed, the garden soil is perfect because essentially what that is topsoil plus landscape.
Mm-hmm.
So all you got to do is plant right into it.
So it's more or less like you're just planting in the ground, like, is the way we always used to do it.
Right.
Before raised beds were a thing.
Right. now, the Proganix O is a little bit heavier mix for containers.
Yeah. I think of Proganix O as a long-term potted plant outside. Say you're wanting to put a couple boxwoods at your front porch,
That's what
Proganix O is a great one because it's like you said, it's a little bit heavier, so it holds a little bit of moisture, so in those summer months you don't have to be out there every single day if you were using a soilless medium,
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah, long-term kind of shrub or tree application, I think, for O.
Now, Supernatural, I think of Supernatural as the product that you use if you want to, if you just want to add something. I mean, you can use it in the same way you use landscape, because landscape has Supernatural in it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you really want to supercharge, so you know, for me, this would be perfect for a vegetable garden, like right in the middle of the season, and you just want to supercharge them, top dress with it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, you can add it to it, you know, at the beginning too.
Yeah.
Viragra is great. It's earthworm castings, which we, you know, recommend.
By earthworm castings, you mean poop.
Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't going to say it, Michael, but since you brought it up, yes, it is poop.
Mm-hmm.
Magic mushroom compost. So, you know, in my opinion, these two products are similar in what you would use them for. The magic is a little bit more cost effective if you're on more of a budget,
mm-hmm.
but you're still going to get some good nutrients and good organic matter with the magic.
Yeah.
And then, wait a minute. Okay. So, P-Fines, that's, you know, when I first started working here 20 years ago, that was pretty much all there was to amend your soil.
Yeah,
that
was conditioner.
It. Mm-hmm. That was it. That's what it was called.
Yeah. And it's still here today, though, because it does very well. I mean, some growers only use pine fines.
Plant in that.
Yeah, just because it's light. It,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
Particularly when it has broken down some.
Yeah.
And it's a little darker. It's not raw. It's you can plant in it. So it is a pretty big input in a lot of the earth mix products. So Enlighten, that is the, you know, because I'm a fan of Monty Python, I always think of really small rocks when I think of Enlighten. And it's great to help with really for just really bad soils.
Yes.
Which you typically get on new construction.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, it's just compacted, you know, or gummy. There's a lot of clay out there that's kind of gummy and wet, you know.
Well, it's really subsoil because they strip all the soil off and then sell it.
Yeah.
Put a little bit around the house.
Uh-huh.
And then you're left in your yard with this subsoil that has no nutrients.
Nothing.
Hardly any drainage.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the new houses are the hardest ones to try to help people landscape by far. So, yeah, it like you said, it looks like little bitty rocks, but it's pretty amazing what it does. You know, planting in gravel-rich soil is really nothing wrong with that at all. So, yeah, that's a good one to add in there. That with the P-Fines isn't a bad idea.
Mm-hmm. And then Sustain is the coconut core, coconut fiber, which is similar to, as far as what it's used for and been used for years, it's very similar to peat moss because it is a inert material. It doesn't have any, which, you know, if you're doing hydroponics or just something where you want to have this, just you want to have as much control as you can over what is going into your plants.
Yes, the nutrient levels.
Right.
Because so there is none with them.
No, there's nothing in there.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a much more sustainable product because a peat bog takes eons to recover, whereas the Sustain is actually you're using essentially waste from another industry, which is the coconut industry.
And that's not going anywhere anytime soon.
No.
Yeah.
So, there you go. There's the Earth Mix products. We sell them here at the nursery. You'll find them around town. If you want to find out where you can get it, just go to Find Earth Mix or go to earthmix.net and then go to Find Earth Mix, and you'll see where you can find these products.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. I'm like, I use Earth Mix in my garden. Got a lot of tomatoes, cucumbers. For those that did, my peppers didn't do so hot, and then I got some broccoli for early spring. That didn't do so hot either. So
I'm starting to see a pattern here.
No, the tomatoes and cucumbers are great.
Okay,
the,
I was going to say.
The lettuce, I forget the kind of lettuce. It's not your typical head of lettuce. It's like the big tall branch, and you just pick the leaves off.
Mm.
That did great. So, but the broccoli, I think someone came and ate it.
Oh, that's most likely what happened.
Okay, the worm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But in one day it was there, and I was like, oh, hey, there's a tiny head of broccoli. 2 days later, completely gone.
That may have been a rabbit or something. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like a mammal.
Uh-huh.
Got to that.
Well, we have a lot of rabbits.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Not enough guns. A lot of rabbits.
We had a rabbit out here the other day decimate our apple trees. We had apple trees. I don't know. I guess rabbits have to shorten their teeth. I guess their teeth get too through and just raked our apple yes. trees. Yeah, we had to take out yes. inventory probably 10 different apples because they just, yeah. man.
It's kind of like a cat. You know how a cat scratches?
Only worse because they stripped
the bark
all the way around yeah. up about, what, 18 inches up? Oh, something yeah. like that.
Golly, mm-hmm. I've never heard of that before.
Yeah.
I've been here 20 years, and now what I've seen if plants blow over, I've seen chipmunks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never seen this.
No.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys remember the kids' book or not, but there's a book called Benicula. It's been a bunny Dracula.
Yeah. I remember that.
That's probably after my time. I think I'm a little too old for that.
Well, you know.
I read that in elementary school.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I remember that.
How old are you?
31.
Okay, so yeah, he would know. We're the same age.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm the old man here. So I mean, it sounds awesome. I mean, it's something I probably would have loved.
I don't really remember much. There was a dog, a cat, and a bunny that they had to keep out of the sunlight.
Yeah.
Or something.
It's a scary bunny.
Yeah, he was. He had red eyes and all kinds of weird stuff. It was.
So they were trying to scare kids into.
Well, I look back at some of the stories I read as a kid, like some of the children's books that have like the Scholastic Book Fair, and I'm like, there's no way I'd let my boy read any of that stuff now.
No, well, you look at the Grimm's Fairy Tales. I mean, they're all...
Oh, those are awful.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like Sleeping Beauty never wakes up.
I think that's just how parents, like...
I'm serious.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, I think that's how parents, back then kind of, gave the lessons to their kids, like, this is what's going to happen to you if you act this way.
Mm-hmm. There was one called Scary Stories to be Read in the Dark. Or something like that. It was by a guy named Schwartz. And for a kid's book, that was pretty graphic.
Now, did anybody ever ask him how you read them in the dark?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess flashlight.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, you can't. I mean, I don't know. If it was completely dark, I couldn't read it. So.
Well, maybe if you're a vampire, you got, I don't know.
Or if you're binocular or whatever that guy was, he could read it.
Tiny, ate your trees? Yeah. Better put some garlic out there, man. I don't tell you.
I don't know about that guy.
Do you have garlic here, by the way?
Yeah, we sell it.
Yeah, we sell it in bulb form.
Yeah.
That's another thing that's easy to grow.
Oh, yeah. I've planted garlic in the snow before.
Is that a year-round thing, or is it specific to a season?
I think it depends on how you probably could keep it going.
In theory, you probably could. You're not going to get as... If you do it like, later in the spring or so. Generally, we plant garlic in the fall, and we watch it come up in the spring, and then we harvest in the early summer.
Okay. Yeah. So, long time to grow that stuff.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it takes a while to fill out. But then you can take, that garlic bulb, and you can separate them and you can plant individuals for the next season.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Uh-huh. Yeah. You can.
Cool.
Yeah. So.
Awesome.
Got any more questions over there?
Well, I've got 4 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And... We got to keep it going for 4 minutes.
Okay.
So, I'm almost out.
No.
Well,
it is almost time with this weather cooling down, though. If you're wanting to reseed your yard with grass seed, it is time to start thinking about that.
That's true. If you're I'm not the person. I mean, here's the thing. I know what to do with your yard if you want it to look awesome. It's just too much work for me. Personally.
Me as well.
So, if you want your yard to look awesome and you want it to be a monoculture or a fescue, or to me, the easiest grass to grow, lawn grass, is Bermuda. And I know some of you out there are going to label me a heretic. But you know what? Back in Jesus' time, a lot of people called him a heretic too. So, okay. All right. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is, the easiest one. Now, you could do zoysia. Zoysia is pretty easy too.
It's still a little far north for zoysia.
I've got it in my yard. It looks great.
Mm-hmm. Where do you live?
Springfield.
Oh, I live in Springfield too. Okay.
So it does great.
Oh, it does fine here.
Well, Drew from Dickens. I'm going to say the name of the place wrong. It's like turf and landscape, lawn and landscape. Mm-hmm. He was sitting here a few weeks back talking about how they have spliced Bermuda and fescue. And they're calling it Fesmuta, but I think Bermescue is a better name. And apparently it's something they're trying out.
It's like they mix the seed? together?
Something like that, yeah. So apparently it's the best of Bermuda, and it's like a fescue you can cut really short.
Okay.
That does sound like something that would happen in 2020.
Yeah.
It does.
Where you would have a cool season grass and a warm season grass.
Mm-hmm. You know, coming together. That way you get green throughout at least the whole year, in theory.
We did get a text, too. Could you, and I have no really idea what this is, kind of, unless it's some kind of irrigation thing. Could you talk a little about rain gardens?
Oh, okay. So what rain gardens are is, I think the idea is that they are similar to, like, wetlands where...
You've got a spider on your chest.
All right.
Going up over your shoulder, crawling up down your back.
It's all right. I'm Spider-Man. Okay. I'm Peter Parker today. So what it is, and you know what wetlands do is they filter water, they slow water down, what they're trying to do with these rain gardens is they're trying to do that on a very, very small scale at your house. So, you know, I think what they do is all of the drain pipes go to this spot in your yard. It's supposed to filter the water and all that. So
help with runoff, help with, you know, it kind of holds instead of just runs away so fast.
Yeah, because inevitably when you have a lot of concrete or hard surface areas like you get when you develop a lot of neighborhoods and, you know, suburban areas, you get a lot more runoff, and they're just trying to, you know,
help with that.
Mm-hmm. Cool. All right. Well, guys, you did a great job.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you, sir.
For Adam, last name?
Chapman.
Adam Chapman and Austin
Lowen. Austin Lowen. Yes.
Filled in admirably for Josh and David this week, and we got to wrap the show up, but. You can always call throughout the week. 615-499-6690 would be the way to go. And, so we'll see you next week. Josh and David will be back. I'm sure we're going to see you guys again. So, did you have fun?
Oh, I had a great time, actually.
Good. All right, cool. All right, we'll see you next week. It's the At Home Show from the Earth Mix Garden Networks.